welcome to the Mug Meeting Summaries podcast. I'm Gilbert Detilieu. Our October meetings roundtable was moderated by Trevor Cordes and featured the usual lively discussion.
Roundtable, open for questions.
Yeah, I saw that.
What's that?
The virtual box kernel driver has been declared crap.
Linux kernel name.
By the kernel developers. It's now marked as something that's unstable and not, and any bugs that are reported should be will not be handled by kernel developers. They'll get a message saying you should go talk to the VirtualBox people with this. Yeah, people have just had too many really stupid, bizarre, annoying crashes due to this.
So does this only affect paravirtualized posts, or you know?
Well, anyone that's trying to run VirtualBox on their
On a slightly related note, if anybody here is running MySQL, downloaded it and built it, and did download it during the time it was contaminated, you may want to rebuild it. On an embarrassing note, that was Oracle/MySQL, and the guys broke in using an SQL issue. Color me red for MMS if I am a CIO. They were briefly, they had contaminated code, so if you've been tinkering with that recently and built source, see which version you got.
What was the time frame?
The good version only came out about 10 days. There was a notification on their website I was on about 5 days ago that said that they just got it back up running, that it was on their central site.
You check their website or check SANS or one of those guys tracking all that stuff.
Did it make it into the distros?
Yeah.
The distro updates?
Yeah. Source and distro were both pretty contaminated.
Great.
Hooray.
I heard they got in through the Zen garden.
I know what I'm going to be doing tonight.
Sorry.
When did you last download PowerPoint?
Well, if it made it into the Fedora updates.
Oh, no, it wouldn't have made it. I don't think it made it to any of the vendors.
It was the MySQL site itself.
It was the MySQL site itself.
If you downloaded it and built it, or downloaded a binary from there, you would want to do that again.
And, of course, in other compromise news, kernel.org is still not fully back functional yet. They're still recovering from their hacking episode. What, 3 months ago now or something?
Wow.
Some services are still down. Somehow, however, the Linux kernel has just graduated to 3.0, while kernel.org is still down.
Desura is a private beta. I don't know. Desura. It is it's a game installation medium, like Steam for Windows.
Okay.
It's a little unstable, but it's on a fast track to being stable. A couple of one AAA titles. There's a lot of indie games. It's good to see them in that direction.
How do you spell that?
D-E-S-U.
Oh, speaking of games, the Humble Bundle, which is now, I think, an annual event, or roughly, is a bunch of indie games. It's a pay-what-you-feel-it's-worth model. The notable fact is that it's available for Windows, it's available for Mac, and it's available for Linux.
Which desktop? GNOME or
independent? You can run it with X.
Oh, it's X. Okay.
Well, you probably need SDL or something.
Yeah, it's SDL.
Does it run X on Mac as well?
No. Because if it's SDL-based, it'll flip to the native rendering library. I think they're all SDL-based.
And the most generous contributors are
Linux users.
Oh, yes.
Followed by Mac users.
And
trailed by
long ways.
And there, didn't they have an arrangement where if you paid more than the average, you got or two additionally?
Yeah.
They have done something like that, yes.
Something like that.
There's some additional bonus.
Yeah, I did it today, and you get stuff that you can get on Steam for like 10 bucks. I saw it whenever it downloaded.
So
how are the games?
Some of them are good, and some of them are complete crap.
A lot of them are pretty good, actually. But they don't appeal to everybody. So.
Right. Well, one of them, they explicitly say this is basically alpha quality. Here's the source code. Have fun. You know, this is sort of our last ditch.
Yeah.
One of them, they admitted, you know, this is in beta. It was developed for an Xbox controller or something like that. So you may have difficulty using this with a mouse and keyboard. And true enough, you do have difficulty using it with a mouse and keyboard. And yeah, the other
ones. There's a lot of them that work fine, though.
Yeah, the other ones work okay. Just, you know, you may like them, you may not like them.
How many games are in the bundle?
Well, they've actually added at least two full blown games to the bundle since I bought it. So.
And you get those.
Yeah.
Even if you buy it and then they add them.
Oh, okay.
I think they said if you paid more than the average or something, and they added some later, then you got them automatically or something like that.
You average as of when you buy.
That's exactly the trick.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's a moving average, right?
They've been pretty generous. And I think they are including the previous bundle with this one.
I don't think so.
No? I thought there were some games, some other games that were included from the previous bundle.
Maybe it was a second,
because this is like
second
the fifth
iteration
one.
Of one of these from the previous bundles.
Oh, yes. Shadow Grounds was in the first Humble Bundle. Shadow Grounds Survivor is in this one.
Yes, but I had those.
Oh, you're right. You're
previous
right.
One.
Shadow Grounds was also available in this bundle. So there was at least one game that was overlapping. Anyway, it was worth the $10 as of when I bought.
Don? Right. I'd like to complain about Dell's. I only recently decided to like the round. Dink, belt. I sat on it. It's not my Dell's. Who's got a dead one of the next?
Why were you sitting on a power brick?
I'd rather not talk.
They get nice and toasty warm.
Come on. Is that a new heated seat option?
But I bet it would hurt. It got in the way. There's no blood.
Okay.
Thanks, folks.
We'll move along quickly.
Questions? Exciting things happening?
I like Mini Tube.
Mini Tube?
That's all. Yeah. Mini Tube is good.
Chilbert?
Linux, Mac, Windows.
If anyone is running CentOS or Scientific Linux 5 and is thinking of doing an upgrade in place to 6,
don't.
I would recommend you don't. And if your system has software RAID using MDadmin stuff, I would say definitely don't. Yeah, they've changed the way the RAID works. They're using a different version for the RAID super block, and it does nasty things if you use the old one. And I tried fixing a system and gave up and just did an install from scratch. Oh, I had a backup. It's not a problem. Yeah. I just spent a lot of time trying to fix a system that was broken and eventually gave up.
Question. Anybody here familiar with the dbconfig common setup on either Debian or Ubuntu server?
The what?
dbconfig-common.
Right.
It's their automated, let's install the database for you system that does magic under the hood. Okay.
Great.
Is that all, though?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all. Yeah, first I have to find the source.
Package-capital.
Not always as easy as you'd think.
Okay.
Not when your package has like 12,000 files in it.
No.
It's like, which one do I want? I don't know.
Just as a heads up, if a file name, say like host POSEINS or Debian, do that. If one of the files that's in
there. Yeah, one of them.
Yeah.
The other problem is it's like a set of like 8 interrelated packages, and I don't know which one of them has the dbconfig bits.
Yep.
All I know is it's not working right.
Oh, just a comment. Picked up a cheap LCD TV last month, tried it on a Mac at 720p. Doesn't look as good as monitors.
No.
Yeah.
With HDMI?
VGA. Because I was comparing it with like a 1024x768 monitor. The monitor looks better.
The pixel density is the pixel density is kind of low.
Mm-hmm.
In if you use... what was it I'm comparing? I think it's a 1080 32 inch is around the pixel densities we were getting about 50 years
ago. Yeah, because I mean, I was looking at some fonts in OpenOffice and, well, actually NeoOffice, and
Yeah, it's okay for video. You don't want to project. If you're
you're doing video images plus a game.
Well, games
getting
not
a
lot, so much.
Going to a larger screen, it could make sense. He's a young, but usually for text, not.
Yeah, I mean, even like on a 19-inch, you know, it's.
Unless you're sitting way back.
Yeah.
Well, that and the TVs now, they're upscale, downscale, match what they're sending, what pixel density of the screen is.
Well, that's true.
That's the lowest bidder. No one's ever going to use Don't worry about it software. So it's just ugly. Because you take the same machine, you plug an HDMI reel, you can write it at the right 1080 or 720 degree inch better, because a lot of it's the hash in the TV.
Well, actually, it was kind of interesting. I managed to fiddle around with the resolution, and I managed to go slightly beyond the 720. Mm-hmm. I think something like 800, 900, almost like the 1080, but not quite. And it seems to have worked, but the quality, like I said,
yeah,
quality
it's just scaling
the
it back
image,
down.
Yeah.
It's a fixed pixel display.
Yeah.
So it may accept all kinds of resolution, but the internal scaler, which is not necessarily that great, is going to just turn it into the native RAID asset.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same racket we got with first round of HD monitors. They were pretty bug ugly unless you were sent exact what the glass was.
Mm-hmm.
And if your video card didn't do that, well,
definitely.
the results were pretty literally.
So the rule of thumb is basically use HDMI.
Well, send into the box what it's expecting glass resolution. Otherwise, your mileage may vary.
To quote Jamie's Lindsay of screens, data port blah blah is full of DDC, I think.
Oh, yeah, the DDC info. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's done.
I just want to make a comment. Speaking of RVD.
Okay.
If anybody's seen Windows 8 to the new interface, I think that Linux and X have a great opportunity somewhere where we could acquire a lot of users.
Metro.
Oh, that's uglier than anything we've seen in 15 years.
A combined mess of almost like the internet.
That's because it is two interfaces that kind of went smush.
We worked for 15 years to make things on our desktop beautiful. You know, we put pictures in the background, you turn your monitor on, it looks good, and all of a sudden I got it plastered with little squares. It's the ugliest thing ever.
Let me just. We did have a harbinger of doom. It was called the Office Ribbon. You haven't used Office 2007 or 2010? Oh, okay.
Lucky.
Yeah. Lucky you.
Stay away.
You don't have to.
You should. It's a personal trainer. You pay, you get pain, and it's supposed to make you healthier.
John?
I've got an ASRock mainboard, MIDX, and set is a 350. Do you side a Caddy Pro 5? Pretty good. Video side is on 610 by a series, and the proprietary driver sucks. First base, a bit of acceleration. And I turned company, I don't know the generic. After selling, any of you read any pulse, please disregard. Oh, yeah, that's one of the helps might have been turn off that ADI's HDMI circuit. As soon as I turned it off, the real tunnel sounds, multi channel, HA. It might not be real time. It's capable of whatever, and it's happy. It's certain signals. You know, for even that, or a certain kind of sound. Majority is sounding multi-channel. Doing any multi-channel?
They have some experience. What was it that is not sounding right? What was happening exactly?
DVC radio. Was tinny, messy. After trying to get rid of it, I don't want to follow some instructions. Boot. But in the course of Alsa dot.
Sounds like what you're describing sounds just like really, really crappy hardware interpolation or hardware resampling.
Well, yes, you get it. Also,
so both ALSA and Pulse can resample in software before it feeds it to the hardware.
You let Pulse bot and reference in just this file. If you don't have one, really complex, all those instances, all of this.
Okay, yeah, if you're manually. If you're manually specifying 44s and 48s in your conf file, then yeah, it's just that the hardware can't resample worth crap. So the software resampling sounds much better.
Upsample, there are many examples of different patients that we put together. Put a glue there, these patients, or just somebody out there that has one. I'm finished. Nice platform. $209 $2 your shop. Boot the operator. Debbie.
stick up for subversion. I think Adam's been hard on subversion. That's all.
I can contribute a little bit of interesting information, and that's the following. If you have a microphone, just like the one that Frank over there with our meetings, and if you go through TSA in the States,
some of the time
they think it's a taser.
Well, it's happened twice now.
They think it's a taser. They get it, when they started talking to him, I didn't know him. I went the other way. You take him. I don't want him.
The Zoom H4n has the two mics in the front
that are sort of crossed.
Yeah. And apparently on the scanners, some of the less experienced operators think it looks like a stun gun.
But just through the X-ray, not
just through the X-ray,
real light.
No, not when they're actually looking at it. But you still have to explain what it is.
Yeah.
I'm glad you told me. I was going to deal with
that. Logan's up here.
It didn't slow us down that
much. Yeah, strip search. Who cares? Anyone else?
Oh, the fans slow down, you mean?
Yeah. Like it's, I didn't know it was on. I had to put the lights to make sure.
You're talking about 860-ish?
Yeah.
On again.
Intel's Ivy Bridge has come to $20, so more juice, but the story is it's not the capabilities or the ATI that's in the approach. But the stuff I've been playing with, D510. Is adequate most barely does
720.
720, pardon me. Videos. Oh, mini two.
I can throw in an amusing anecdote if anyone cares. In the so much for redundancy category, in the so much for redundancy department, traffic signals, part of the city of Winnipeg, severed the city's fiber loop over on Waverly.
Oops.
And then meanwhile, over, where was it? Maybe over at Transit, a private contractor on behalf of Transit was installing a new fence, severed the fiber in the loops. So not much was working this afternoon.
That's well, that's, right? That's, ring splitting twice doesn't work.
No.
It should work, but should it be a part that
well, part of it is still working, but a whole lot was not.
That was just through traffic circle fiber, or that was like fiber?
Sorry, the what?
You said they cut what fiber lines?
The city's internal fiber.
Oh, the city's internal
fiber. It's a ring.
Did they not call before they dug?
Somebody did not call. Two somebodies did not call before they dug. Coincidentally, on the same day.
How long does it take to get those fixed?
I don't know. I'm not in that networks, so I just...
Duct tape doesn't work to put the fiber back together?
Not so much, no.
Not so well.
Ooh, that's nasty.
Yeah, so much for their emergency. Oh, we've got it covered. We have redundancy. Yeah. Two cuts in the same day.
But again,
what
are the odds, really?
two cuts in 10 days.
Two cuts in one ring is... not really going to keep things up.
Yeah, but even phone companies don't provision for dual, simultaneous, wire cuts.
Nope.
So what would that bring down? Mm-hmm. What would that bring down?
A lot of connectivity between various sites and corporate things like email.
City workers didn't work very well.
Active directory.
And we noticed how?
Libraries may have been affected, I'm not sure. It's mostly the western part of the city. So some libraries would be affected, some fire stations, some, places like that. It's curious.
Fallback semi
pigeon. Carrier pigeon.
I thought they'd
probably by tomorrow it'll be fine. I didn't hear. I didn't see. By the time I left today, I didn't see a report saying this back.
How did they fix that? Are they able to put the cables back together? They have to run new down that section.
You can.
I'm not sure. I think they can splice.
If you can identify the individual fiber strands, you can go down. Like, the problem is when you're building a fiber ring, you're typically laying 48, 96 strand fiber cables. And if you chop the cable in half in the middle of the cable, there's nothing to identify which strand is which on the two terminated chunks of cable you've got.
You need to send IP6s.
Which takes a lot of time, a lot of manual effort.
I don't know if they have that much fiber that they use. Even although why they wouldn't, I don't know.
Even with the goldie old, I think it was 6 strand, which is probably a doable problem if you wrap around them.
6 is not so bad, but you've still got probably a foot of cable that's now completely unusable. So you have to you have to do two fiber splices.
Yeah.
A fiber splice on, like, you shear it off clean, and you resplice that 6, 12, whatever. You shear that one off clean, you redo that 6 or 12, and you bridge the gap with new fiber. If it's only a 6-strand cable, then it could be done.
In a couple of days, pain in the sit down. Then you got to goop it all back up, bury it.
But you should be able to restore connectivity within 8 to 12 hours. Within 12 hours, it's
at least the weather's good. It's not December.
True enough. Although you don't usually get backhoe cuts in December.
Oh, yes, you do. That's when the ground gets really hard, and that's when digging gets a little bit more approximate.
Okay.
When the water mains start bursting.
Well, 6 factorial 720, right?
Pardon?
There you go.
You feel like a math professor.
That's the upper limit of the number of tests you have to do.
Actually, it's not even that bad, because anybody who runs a fiber plant has the equivalent of an optical toner device. It's just it's not high enough power to blind you instantly, but it's in a visible light wavelength, and you just plug this thing. Basically, it's like a really, 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 really bright, really precise flashlight. And you plug it in at one end.
Are they covered with anything?
Yeah.
Well, they are.
Some leaking light or
before the backhoe goes through them, yes, they are.
Which is where you get into the must go back to a good piece of cable and make a clean cut.
So is it color coded?
Yes, color coded. Sheets are color coded.
Oh, so if you just chopped out two chunks, you could.
Yeah, but remember, like, it's got a big outer waterproofing rain and a big steel mesh thing inside. And it's got shielding and it's got rubber and it's got foam. It's got. So, you know, it takes you an hour to pull the individual 6 strands out so that you can actually look at them. Then you got to do that 6 feet further down that way, and then you get to start working.
It's a pain. But you can't work with the leftover piece, right?
No.
Unless you manage to cut both of them off, but then you, like, if they were two separate into the cuts, you cut those off, make clean cuts.
You just splice new patch cables in, basically.
Few splice. Plus the fibers are cheap.
Relatively.
2 kilometers of OC48 was a grand.
That's cheap. It's cheap on the wheel.
Yeah. It's on the wheel. What? Paying someone to run it.
It's the splicing.
Yeah. 2 kilometers of OC48.
Just get someone who knows knots.
Do any of these things come with something like a plug in the end?
I think we're going to wrap it up and get with the RTFM here. So, thanks for everyone's contribution.
That's it for this podcast. Thanks for listening. For more mug meeting summaries or for more information about the Manitoba Unix User Group, check out our website at muug.mb.ca.